This is Todd Sommerfeld. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS in Crookston, Minnesota. We are pleased to bring you the update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman, along with Randy Conan and Tyler Donaldson. USDA's March supply and demand report came in about as expected. The only change USDA made to the 23-24 corn crop was lowering the farm gate price by 5 cents to $4.75 a bushel. USDA made no changes to the soybean balance sheet. USDA reduced wheat exports by 15 million bushels and raised ending stocks by 15 million bushels to 673 million bushels, which is 18% higher than last year. The season average farm gate price for wheat was lowered by a nickel to 7.75 per bushel.
Not much change in this month's WASD report. Summit Commodity Brokerage partner Tom Fitzenmeyer points to the South American crop projections as one of the few notes of interest.
The most interesting thing about the report probably was the fact that it looks like the USDA took the month off. I mean, they literally made no changes in either the corn or the soybean balance sheet. The one thing that the trade has been watching pretty closely is what the USDA was going to do with the South American crop. And they did, I think, surprise the market a little bit, although the market hasn't reacted much to it. But the Brazilian corn and soybean crop were, corn was unchanged from last month, and soybeans were only down a million metric ton. And I think the trade was looking for soybeans below 150 a million metric ton, and it came in at 155.
And the focus now shifts to the end of March acreage speculations.
You're pretty rapidly going to see the market shifting to speculation on what that March 31st acreage and stocks numbers are going to say. And then starting basically next week, we're going to really be watching closely, particularly the Brazilian weather for the safrinha crop, as that early planted stuff starts to pollinate here at the end of March and into April. So I think you're going to see a pivot pretty rapidly to those as factors. And then of course, U.S. planting progress will start to be talked about by the end of the month as well.
Following a lackluster WASD, Total Farm Marketing Market Advisor Brandon Doherty says it's a bit surprising that wheat continues to hold gains from earlier in the day.
We had Brazilian corn production unchanged at 124 million tons, Argentina soybean production unchanged at 50 million tons, and there were only small adjustments other than that. As far as the U.S. numbers, just about as neutral as can be, no change in U.S. corn ending stocks. No change in U.S. soybean ending stocks. The only increase there was for wheat. So interestingly, wheat was actually trending higher before the report, and it is still up despite that increase.
Traders will be looking to the planting intentions report at the end of the month for the next potential market-moving data.
I think that's going to be the big thing that the market's going to be focusing on, other than weather. We're going into the U.S. spring here, and there are definitely some drier pockets throughout the country that'll need to be watched, especially the western corn belt and southern plains. South America is going into the end of their season here with weather looking mostly favorable. Argentina has some more rain in the forecast, which may delay some of their corn harvest. They're just about starting. But other than that, I think it's down to weather going forward, and I think it's down to what planting intentions look like at the end of the month.
Most of Argentina will get waves of rain over the next 10 days, with some rain heavy enough to cause flooding in a few areas. World Weather Incorporated says field work will be slowed by the rains in a large part of the country. Shower activity will diminish beginning March 16th, which should allow field work to slowly increase. Brazil's rainfall is expected to remain sporadic, with no general soaking rains expected.
Abbott Futures market analyst Roy Abbott is watching the chart action in the cattle market.
Well, I like the way the cattle market looks on the charts, but I'm just looking at the cattle action right now, and they were up real strong this morning in the first half hour or so, and now they're lower, so I think that might be a warning signal. The cattle market's had a pretty good move up here recently. Again, I think the chart looks awfully good, but this kind of action on a Friday might signal that the market is a little bit overbought.
Champlin, Minnesota Senator John Hoffman has introduced a bill to ban poultry hatching in classrooms in the state. Senate File 4702 has been referred to the Agriculture, Broadband, and Rural Development Committee.
University of Minnesota Extension Nutrient and Water Management Specialist Lindsay Peace joined the latest Nutrient Management podcast produced by the U of M Extension. She says unusual winter weather has producers excited to get in the field.
We've had a much warmer winter than usual with less snow cover. And I think all of that is pointing to us being able to get in the fields a little bit earlier this year because, you know, for a couple of reasons. First, that we don't have quite as deep of a frost depth, so it's not going to take as long for that to clear. But also, that also means that we're not going to see the extent of spring flooding that is really typical for the Red River Valley because, you know, that water is going to be able to move north, but also going to be able to move downward into the soil profile a little bit more.
Peace says even if we do get late season snow or rain events, field conditions should bounce back quickly.
Even if we get some late snow or rain, it's really not going to cause that sort of devastating delay to planting that it usually does in our region. So yeah, I think we're really looking at being able to get in the fields a little bit earlier this year, particularly compared to the last couple of years.
USDA's dry edible beans daily grower bids for Friday, March 8th in the North Harvest region remain unchanged. Blacks, dark reds, and light reds are all averaging $41 a hundredweight. Pintos are priced at $33 per hundredweight. You can get the latest news and weather updates anytime by listening to the Red River Farm Network podcasts. You can find those at rrfn.com or most anywhere you get your podcasts. Reporting agriculture's business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The Midwest Dairy Association has named Corey Scott as their new chief executive officer. Scott will begin her duties March 13th and will be transitioning from retiring CEO Molly Pelzer. Scott previously served as vice president of sales and marketing for Athian and held several leadership positions over 15 years at Land O'Lakes.
TruTerra has a new grant program for farmers considering regenerative agriculture. Senior Manager of Programs and Grants Amber Lusink says this program helps farmers reduce their risk when trying a new farming practice.
While we can't take all the scaries away and completely take away all of the risk, but we can help with some of that financial risk. And so that's the idea of, you know, specifically one of the opportunities that we have through the Climate Smart Funding is to be able to mitigate that risk for the farmer and walk with them.
TruTerra also has an incentive program for long-term adopters.
We have these farmers that have been doing the right thing in terms of they've been long-term no-till since the 80s, and typically they've been standing out here with their hand up saying, what about me? I've been doing it right this whole time. What about me? And they haven't had those marketplace opportunities. And so TruTerra, you know, as a commercial program, we have opportunities for these long-term adopters, but specifically through this Climate Smart opportunity is that we are going to be launching a program in the summer for those early adopters, those farmers that have been long-term no-till.
Enrollment for this new TruTerra program for farmers experienced in regenerative agriculture will begin August 1st.
Proven 40 is a new microbial nitrogen from Pivot Bio that's ideal for farmers who are looking to replace their synthetic nitrogen products with one that's more environmentally friendly. Pivot Bio Director of Business Development and Sustainability Jim Kelly says that Proven 40 is seeing great success in the field, leading farmers to replace up to 40 pounds of their synthetic nitrogen with the new product.
We work with farmers across the country on corn primarily, but we're also expanding into wheat, sorghum, other cereals as well. So Proven 40, that's applied at planting time. The microbe colonizes the plant's root. That root feeds it sugars and exudates, and in turn, that microbe converts atmospheric nitrogen to ammonia and feeds that plant through the growing season.
Farmers replacing synthetic nitrogen can join Pivot Bio's Innovator program to track their sustainability goals and put some money back in their pockets.
We realize that farmers using Proven 40, replacing nitrogen on their soil, there's an environmental impact there. So Innovator was created to capture that data, capture that environmental and sustainability benefit that these farmers are doing, and work with downstream customers within the grain supply chains. So we're working to quantify that environmental benefit from replacing synthetic nitrogen. We're working with these downstream customers, and then these downstream customers are incentivizing the growers to make that practice change. So there's a revenue stream that's going back to the growers for using Proven 40, sharing that data with us and helping these farmers offset their scope, their emissions numbers, and hit their environmental sustainability goals.
North Dakota's Agricultural Products Utilization Commission has awarded funding for 4 projects totaling $187,000 at their recent quarterly meeting. Included in the funding is an award of $50,000 to Northdale Oil Incorporated to conduct a feasibility study and business plan for a new bioplant near Grand Forks.
American Carbon Alliance CEO Tom Bias says ethanol plants and other organizations are looking to ACA as a way to advance carbon smart markets.
Alliance of like-minded groups and entities that want to see rural America play a part as we go forward in our energy future. And so we have had to start a few months ago, but now we continue to add new members who also want to see those types of developments. Again, you know, we can sit here and hope for a marketplace, or we can get out and help develop one. And that's what the pipeline really does, lowering that carbon index.
Bias says that many organizations are working toward a common goal can be a benefit to farmers and the next generation.
A lot of the ethanol plants in that footprint have signed up as members, and recently we've added a lot. We have a lot of trade associations that, again, our goal wasn't to compete with anyone. It's to align with them and everybody kind of rowing in the same direction in order to successfully develop new markets here in the Midwest.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Ag this week on the Red River Farm Network. Let's catch up with Ag Week reporter Noah Fish. Noah, what can you tell us about this week's cover story for Ag Week?
This week's Ag Week cover story is a feature story on All Seasons Farm, which is an organic dairy operation in Cashin, Wisconsin. The dairy has been a member of Organic Valley since 2006, and they are the first family to receive payment through Organic Valley's Carbon Insetting Program.
Tell us a little bit about the Carbon Insetting Program.
Yeah, so it's called the Organic Valley Carbon Insetting Program, and Organic Valley received a $25 million grant from USDA Partnerships for Climate Smart Commodities, and so this is the first program that Organic Valley has ran through that. It's a small farm. It's a small organic dairy farm, so they have just a 50-herd grass-fed cow herd, and it sits in the heart of the Driftless region. So from the Organic Valley headquarters, which is in Cashin, Wisconsin, you can actually see this farm. And from the farm to the nearest village is a 700-foot drop, so it's on just the height of a bluff. The farm planted 1,100 trees on its dairy for cow comfort and flood resilience. The trees are honey locust and black walnut trees. The trees will sequester, I think it's 66 metric tons of carbon dioxide over the next 10 years. And so they'll bring cow comfort, you know, cows can be under the shade of the trees, but they will also provide some flood resiliency. This is 5 years after a historic flood breached a dam on the farm and flooded the village below it.
Thanks, Noah. We're looking forward to reading all about it in next week's issue of Ag Week.
May wheat Minneapolis currently 8.5 cents higher at $6.63 and a quarter. September 8.75 cents higher. Chicago wheat 12.25 higher at $5.40 and three quarters. Kansas City 12.25 higher at $5.87. Corn May futures 1.75 cents higher at $4.39 and three quarters. December corn 1.75 cents higher. And soybeans May contracts 14.5 higher at $11.80 and three quarters. November soybeans 18.5 higher at $11.72. Live cattle April futures 1.40 lower at $187.30. Feeder cattle March down 1.75. Lean hogs April 15 cents lower. This is the Red River Farm Network.